Good morning, early birds. You've caught the Worm A podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. The largest newsroom in Montana moves to unionize, camping during the pandemic, and what phase two of reopening looks like. It's Friday, May 29th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. All five entrances to Yellowstone National Park will be open to day use visitors starting Monday at 10 a.m., Rachel Kramer reports.
Visitors will once again be able to access the park via the three Montana entrances next to West Yellowstone, Gardner, and Cook City. Yellowstone's two less trafficked Wyoming entrances have been open since May 18th. The changes Monday will coincide with Montana Governor Steve Bullock's lifting of quarantine requirements for out-of-state travelers, which were put in place to slow the spread of the novel coronavirus. Restrooms, self-service gas stations, medical clinics, trails, and boardwalks will be open across the park. Approved small group tours, takeout food service, boating, and fishing will also be allowed. Yellowstone officials say some overnight accommodations will begin to reopen later in June, but campgrounds, visitor centers, and other facilities will remain closed for now. The park is partnering with surrounding states, counties, and businesses to increase its capacity to test people with COVID-19 symptoms. Park County health officials started testing Yellowstone employees this week as part of a COVID-19 surveillance testing pilot project. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Glacier National Park is looking at the second week of June to begin a phased reopening. Montana Governor Steve Bullock said on a press call Wednesday the park's western entrances at West Glacier and Camas Creek will initiate phase one of the park's reopening at an as-of-yet undecided date. Private businesses in Apgar may choose to open with the park. Restrooms will be available, though visitor centers will remain closed. Going to the Sun Road is expected to open to vehicles up to Avalanche Creek, with hiker and biker access up to Logan Pass. Snow precludes vehicles from venturing further, though Bullock says a full road opening is on track for late June. The park's eastern entrances will remain closed, in line with non-essential travel restrictions enacted by the Blackfeet Tribal Business Council. The news staff at the largest daily newspaper in Montana has started the push to form a union and is asking for recognition from their employer. Kay Erickson reports.
On Thursday, the Montana News Guild sent a letter to Billings Gazette publisher and president Dave Warstow, asking corporate owner Lee Enterprises to voluntarily recognize the news staff's efforts. Rob Rogers, a Gazette reporter and a member of the organizing committee, says the newspaper landscape is quickly changing.
It would give us an opportunity to at least have a voice at the table, have a say in many of the changes that, of course, are happening to the news industry every day, including layoffs and furloughs and shrinking publications.
A news release sent out by the Guild says they've submitted the necessary information to the National Labor Relations Board to seek a majority vote authorizing the union's formation if they do not receive voluntary recognition. The Guild's letter was signed by 19 of the 21 members of the news staff. Rogers says that shows the new staff is as close to unified as they've ever been on anything. Lee Enterprises owns four other newspapers in Montana: the Missoulian, the Helena Independent Record, the Montana Standard in Butte, and the Ravalli Republic. None of those news departments are unionized. The Gazette is the second newspaper in the state to push to unionize. In 2018, the Missoula Independent voted to unionize after being purchased by Lee Enterprises. Lee then closed the alternative weekly, notifying workers by email and voicemail. Rogers calls voluntary recognition for the Montana News Guild the path of least resistance.
We love our publication. We love what we do as journalists. We are all deeply invested in being a voice for our community, and we want to see the Gazette continue. We want to see it thrive.
Although the news staff has organized, a formal union vote has not yet happened. YPR reached out to Billings Gazette publisher Dave Warstow for comment and had not heard back by Newstime. I'm Kay Erickson, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Few days are left before Montana's June 2nd primary election, so voters who haven't mailed their ballots should instead drop them off in person at county election offices and other drop-off locations. Kevin Trevlin reports some election officials are already processing mail-in primary envelopes.
Missoula County Elections Administrator Bradley Seaman says turnout in his county will likely surpass previous primaries. Nearly 36% of registered voters there had returned ballots as of Wednesday.
And in elections, the more people who vote means the more accurate that their wishes are.
Missoula County turnout almost matches the state average at this point, 37%. To compare, 45% of Montana voters turned out for the last presidential primary in 2016. A legal dispute sowed confusion this month by almost changing the state's ballot receipt deadline. A Yellowstone County District Court judge also temporarily suspended the Ballot Interference Prevention Act, which would have allowed one person to turn in only 6 absentee ballots, and asked that they fill out a form saying whose ballots they were returning. Regardless, some election officials are already preparing ballots for counting, thanks to a separate election law passed last year, allowing them to begin the process earlier than before. Flathead County Election Office Manager Monica Eisenzimmer says the extra time will significantly reduce pressure on staff.
I mean, I don't know of anybody that wants to spend all day from 4 o'clock in the mornings when we start our day till 4 o'clock the next day and have to be as alert and aware of everything that's going on.
County officials expect the new law will lead to faster results on Election Day, but some of them think many voters will still be submitting ballots until the 8 p.m. deadline on June 2nd. Rural Bighorn County, for example, has only seen 20% turnout so far. Elections Administrator Dulcie Bear Don't Walk says local voters prefer to do it in person.
People are 20 or 30 miles apart, and they don't hardly ever come off their ranch. And so on voting day, that's the day that they generally see everybody. So it is a very social activity.
Bighorn County will offer drop-off locations at all usual polling places on Election Day. Kevin Trevlin, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Native American tribes in Montana are beginning to use federal funds to bolster their response to the novel coronavirus, Eric Young reports.
The funding comes from the Federal CARES Act. Montana tribes received $172 million. The Crow Tribe announced they received $25 million from the U.S. Treasury. The Little Shell Chippewa Tribe received $25 million, per Chairman Gerald Gray. According to the Office of Steve Daines, the Fort Peck, Assiniboine, and Sioux tribes received over $24 million. The Blackfeet Nation received over $30 million. The Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes received over $29 million. The Northern Cheyenne over $16 million, the Chippewa Cree tribe over $11 million, and the Fort Belknap, Assiniboine, and Gros Ventre tribes over $9 million. The funds can be used to pay for medical and public health needs, along with economic support for businesses and unemployed workers. The fund's delayed disbursement comes after the U.S. Treasury Department missed an April deadline due to a court challenge over which tribes were eligible to receive relief funds and confusions over how funds would reach tribes. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Eric Young.
As Montana scales up COVID-19 testing while preparing to enter phase 2 of reopening the state, mass surveillance drive-through testing sites popped up in Crow Agency and Hardin this week. Caitlin Nicholas reports.
The testing site at the Little Bighorn Casino in Crow Agency saw a steady stream of cars Wednesday.
Let me have your name, please.
Drivers stopped at the first tent station to give their contact information to nurses with Indian Health Service and County and Tribal Public Health.
And how are you feeling?
Good.
No shortness of breath, no cough, no fever.
Nope.
Fabulous.
Nope.
And any exposures that you know of?
No.
Okay, good deal. Let's keep it that way.
Then the cars were directed to the second station, where nurses and Montana National Guard members, draped in gowns, masks, and face shields, gave drivers and passengers the test using a long nasal swab.
Put your head back on that. Yep, there you go. Perfect. You got it. Deep, slow breath. Open that mouth. Take a big, deep, slow breath. There you go. All right. That was it.
A quick touch to the very back of the nose, and then the sample was sent off for analysis. 583 people were tested Wednesday alone.
So we are moving into the more proactive stage of sentinel testing as opposed to the reactive stage where we were just dealing with people who were sick.
That's Esther Wynn, Bighorn County public health nurse. Without symptoms, the test is sent off to a private lab out of state and results are given over the phone within 1 to 2 weeks. The tests of those with symptoms is sent to the state public health lab in Helena, where results are available between 24 and 48 hours. Wynn says when a test comes back positive, Indian Health Service and county public health workers call the infected person and ask for a list of everyone they've spent time with, back to 2 days before they had symptoms, so officials can begin contact tracing.
We try to contact the close contacts within 24 hours. If we get a call at 5 o'clock, we will stay in the office until as many initial phone calls can be made as possible. For the most part, each person has had 15 to 20 people. That's manageable. Part of that is because people have been sheltering at home for the most part. That could be changing. As the state opens up, contact tracing could be more difficult.
Previous mass testing events in Lodgegrass and Pryor have already identified 3 COVID-19 patients who weren't showing symptoms. The Fort Belknap and Blackfeet tribes have hosted similar events. In Crow Agency, Governor Steve Bullock reiterated the statewide plan to increase testing to 60,000 tests a month.
Right now, we're in the process of trying to test everyone in our long-term care facilities and the workers. We want to make sure to really amp up the tests in our tribal communities, both with multi-generational living and health risks, that the sooner that we actually find positive cases, the better off we are.
The state recently entered into a contract with Quest Diagnostics to increase testing capacity. The contract, which could run up to $6.1 million using some federal funds, means Quest will supply future testing materials and fly tests out of state for analysis. Bullock says the Quest contract covers up to 1,500 tests a day. While statewide, Montana is preparing to move into phase 2 of reopening on Monday, the Crow tribe recently extended a stay-at-home order until June 15th. Chairman A.J. Not Afraid says it will be important now to get a snapshot of how the virus is moving through the community as the state reopens.
I believe if we can identify the baseline, we can surely contain or identify the influx of this virus, whether it's primarily coming from the outside or did it start here? Because really, we feel it started out there, right? And if we could identify that traffic, I think that would be the absolute, one of the solutions to taping that off, if you will.
State Representative Sharon Stewart Paraguay, a Crow tribal member, was one of several tribal, county, and state leaders who recommitted to working collaboratively against the virus.
As the Crow Nation, one of the solid bounds that we have is when the Creator gave us the clan system, and He told us that we would be interknitted and coming together so that any force could not pull us apart. And the COVID is a force. And I'd like to just say to my Crow people, stay diligent, take care of each other, love each other, and help each other, because that's how we're going to be able to flatten the curve, not only on the Crow Reservation, but across Montana. Thank you.
The Chippewa, Cree, and Little Shell tribes will hold similar testing events Friday. In Crow Agency, I'm Caitlin Nicholas.
Caitlin Nicholas is Yellowstone Public Radio's Report for America tribal affairs reporter. Montana is starting 2 new programs for tourism education and business safety as the state enters the second phase of its economic reopening plan, June 1st. Starting on Monday, out-of-state travelers will no longer be required by the state to quarantine for 2 weeks when entering Montana. Governor Steve Bullock says the Montana Business Adaptation Program will allow for up to $5,000 in reimbursement per business for expenses related to keeping staff and customers safe.
Expenses include things like the purchase of personal protective equipment, installation of sneeze guards, hand sanitizer, resources for remote work equipment, cleaning supplies, and more.
A total of $20 million in these grants are available starting Monday at covidrelief.mt.gov. The Montana Department of Commerce and Department of Public Health and Human Services is also kicking off a $15 million statewide campaign aimed at educating tourists about public health and safety while visiting Montana. Montanans who've been stuck in the house due to the coronavirus pandemic are finally getting some fresh air on the state's campsites. That's led to some unusually high visitor rates in some areas, while in others, campers are getting to know corners of the state they might not have otherwise thought to go. Megan Myskowski reports for Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Marguerite Gaillard is a 19-year-old AmeriCorps volunteer from Bozeman. She's an avid camper and spent this past Memorial Day weekend with her mom and a family friend at Freeze Out Lake near Great Falls. But the trip looked a little different from her normal weekends camping. They made a point of keeping their distance from other campers, and even each other to an extent.
This time we were pretty careful. We took separate cars, we brought our own everything, brought our own dinners and lunches and food items.
Gaillard says she plans on camping about as often as she would any other year, but with this new set of precautions. She also says that she sees camping as a great way to get out of the house without coming into close contact with other people. She's definitely not alone. Montana State Park System Marketing and Communications Manager Pat Doyle says people are camping at state parks at unheard-of rates. After state park campgrounds opened on May 1st, campsites hit a 75% occupancy rate, which crescendoed to nearly 100% by Memorial Day.
A lot of that obviously has to do with the coronavirus, people having a huge desire to get outside and recreate at our state parks, which is outstanding.
He says that while the spike in campers has overall been positive, it's also been tough on the staff. Usually, the lower numbers at the beginning of the season give camp hosts, maintenance workers, and park rangers time to ease into things. But this year, summer-level crowds arrived with the opening of the parks, as the staff was also establishing new rules and procedures around social distancing, cleaning, and wearing personal protective equipment. The state park system also shifted some of its normal visitor interactions from visitor centers, which are still closed, online by offering new videos and resources for teachers.
All of our parks were really created in some way to tell the story of Montana.
Montana's Girl Scout troops are also navigating how to move some activities online. Christy Osterlund is the marketing and communications manager for the Girl Scouts of Montana and Wyoming, and she says the organization held a camp-in challenge where it asked scouts to participate in indoor activities like yoga and virtual museum tours while staying home and social distancing. She says there are more programs like it in the works, like the Summer Outdoor Challenge, where scouts can even earn a badge.
It's really just one of those things that parents can have on the refrigerator. And so when their child says, I'm bored, they can turn to this and say, well, let's make a bird feeder out of a pine cone.
The Girl Scouts of Montana is still planning some camping trips for the summer, but they'll be fewer and smaller. In a normal year, the organization holds about 45 camps. It's now planning for 9. Osterlund says they're working with the American Camp Association and looking to the state and the Center for Disease Control and Prevention for guidelines to help them plan the camps, which will certainly have fewer participants to allow for social distancing. U.S. Forest Service Northern Region Press Officer Dan Hoddle says he and his colleagues are also adjusting their plans for the season and troubleshooting new problems.
This time of year, it's always challenging to open campgrounds just because of Mother Nature, and now we have a second round of Mother Nature that's presenting some other challenges for us.
He says that because many Forest Service campgrounds open later due to weather, they've had some extra time to plan. Still, he encourages anyone considering a camping trip on Forest Service land to call ahead and see what's open, what's clean, and what's different before they go. And while they've had some issues with campers improperly disposing of waste or going off trail, they've also gotten help from visitors.
We've seen a lot of people on trails and in our recreational sites and our public access sites police each other, so it's made our jobs easier when we talk about recreating responsibly.
Huddle says it's too early to know if Forest Service campgrounds have seen a boom in visitors because of the pandemic. But BLM spokesperson Al Nash can say with confidence that there hasn't been as much pressure on their system as there has been on parks that tend to be more tightly packed. He encourages Montanans to think a little more broadly when planning a trip this summer.
There's a lot of Montana, and there are a lot of opportunities for you to go out and enjoy your public lands. And I just encourage you to, when planning and escape out into the wild, have more than one potential destination in mind.
For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Megan Myskowski.
The number of Montanans filing new claims for unemployment help continues to decline, according to the latest numbers released yesterday by the Montana Department of Labor and Industry, but unemployment in the state remains well above normal times amid the COVID-19 pandemic. More than 11,000 people filed initial unemployment claims so far in May. That's down from late March, when more than 20,000 Montanans a week were filing new claims. Since mid-March, when Montana entered a state of emergency in response to COVID-19, around 100,000 people have sought new unemployment payments. Montana enters phase two of Governor Steve Bullock's economic reopening plan Monday. That increases how many customers can be inside some businesses at any given time. Starting June 1st, out-of-state travelers will no longer be required to quarantine when arriving in Montana.
With Montana News, I'm Corinne Cates Carney.
And I'm Nikki Ouellette. On Monday, Montana will enter into phase two of the state's reopening plan.
That means group sizes can increase to 50 people with social distancing. Businesses, bars, and restaurants can increase capacity to 75%, and a requirement for people coming into the state to quarantine for 14 days will also lift. Some aspects of phase one, like the recommendation for people over 65 years old or with underlying health conditions to continue to shelter at home, remain in place.
Governor Steve Bullock says Montana's continued low case count and hospitalization rate for the COVID-19 illness are signals the state is ready to take this step. A big question moving forward, though, is how will tourists coming into Montana in the coming summer months impact the disease's spread? On a press call yesterday afternoon, Bullock said,
as we move into phase two starting this coming Monday, June 1st, we are asking the same of our visitors as we do of Montanans. If you're going to come to our state, heed state and local restrictions, as well as the guidelines set up by businesses.
Summer tourism is a massive economic driver in some Montana counties, where towns can literally double in size as snowbirds return and vacationers pack hotels. Bullock says the state is putting $15 million into a statewide campaign aimed at educating tourists before they come to Montana and after they get here. That money is from the $1.25 billion Montana got through the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security, or CARES Act. The state is also putting $28 million of that money into a new grant program to reimburse businesses for the costs of keeping staff and customers protected.
Expenses include things like the purchase of personal protective equipment, installation of sneeze guards, hand sanitizer, resources for remote work equipment, cleaning supplies, and more.
Bullock also said that the State Department of Commerce identified 20 destination counties to receive support from the state to boost COVID-19 testing and contact tracing capacity.
Gallatin County is one of the places the governor's office is keeping an eye on because of its proximity to Yellowstone National Park and the popularity among road trippers. I called Gallatin City County's health officer, Matt Kelly, last week. He said the main focus for their county is West Yellowstone. And the big thing there is just the uncertainty of how many visitors are going to come and how many may need healthcare.
That's what's so challenging about it. West Yellowstone in a non-pandemic year, healthcare services are tough because the town goes from 1,300 people during the winter to up to 16,000 people. And so with that sort of variation in population level, it's really a challenge for healthcare organizations to kind of live in that environment on a year-round basis. And then you add a pandemic on top of that, the uncertainty that creates really makes it even more difficult.
Kelly says testing is going to play a big role in monitoring for potential cases. This is something we've also heard from Bullock. Kelly says he's confident they have enough testing materials to test people who have COVID-19 symptoms. But when I talked to Kelly late last week, he said testing capacity was less clear for people who aren't showing symptoms.
Bighorn County is another one on the state's list. It's small compared to Gallatin, but it does see people passing through on fishing trips on the Bighorn River, Yellowtail Dam, or just coming through to Yellowstone. Bighorn County's COVID-19 incident commander, Bill Hodges, said they do see an uptick of people in the summer, and they're preparing for phase two.
There's been some hesitancy, I think, from us. We wish we could have had just a little bit more extension. But, I mean, we support the governor, and it needs to get reopened, and part of phase two opening is going to be more case presentations. So I think we're as prepared as we possibly can be prepared, you know, at this juncture right now.
Hodges said they've brought 9 or 10 nurses out of retirement to help with contact tracing, and there's lots of collaboration between the county, nearby Crow Nation, and Indian Health Service, along with nearby hospitals to handle surge capacity. But he says that getting certain PPE, like masks and gowns, remains a struggle. What's interesting is that as Montana is opening up, several tribal nations are voting to actually prolong local business closures and non-essential travel restrictions.
Tribal governments on the Blackfeet, Crow, Northern Cheyenne, Flathead, Fort Belknap, and Rocky Boys reservations all have stay-at-home orders or shelter-in-place orders in effect. Robert McDonald, the communications director for the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes on the Flathead, says the tribal government there is taking a much more conservative approach to COVID-19.
The CSKT takes the corona threat very seriously to protect our elders. So temporarily, our tribes have limited access to tribal lands that require a recreational permit for entry. So only residents of the reservation with a current rec permit may enter these lands.
So to recap, the state of Montana is entering phase two of its economic reopening plan Monday, June 1st, but some areas, notably Native American reservations and national parks, remain under stricter orders.
Businesses can take small steps toward reopening and group sizes can get a little bigger, still with social distancing.
Thanks, Corin.
Thanks, Nikki.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds Monday morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.